133.
Is that the one? Leaning on the everlasting arm? Yes, so 133, yes. Thank you.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the breath grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Five fifty-seven. Second verse? Okay.
Before our Father's throne, we pour our heart and prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims are one. We share each other's wounds.
Four hundred.
First and last verse.
For songs of loudest praise, teach me some moves, melt your sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I am fixed upon it, mount of thy beaming above. Hear a praise, either by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure. He thus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold.
fresh blood.
Three seventy-seven.
Gonna be the last one.
Thank you, Colleen. Good morning and welcome to the House of Faith, the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa. It's so good to see everyone here in the sanctuary, and welcome to those of you that are joining us on Zoom. It's a beautiful day. I know I went out and had a quick walk with my dog, and it decided to mist heavily on us, but we survived, and then the sun came out, so it really was a beautiful way to start the morning. So I'd like to welcome you, and we've got some slides that we'll be taking a look at. The month of February, we have several birthdays. Pastor wouldn't give me his exact date, but I'm sure we'll find that out. So please continue to wish everyone well. I know I have a birthday in my family, not my own, so it's always fun to have February roll around so that we can celebrate. The whiteboard study, volume 2, is in the Camellia Room from 11 to 11:45. It's a video study covering a divided nation to the gospel. So you are welcome to join at any point. You've gone ahead of me. Hearts Grow, we do welcome children second and fourth Sundays. Children can come before the sermon and stay until the end of fellowship. Parents are welcome also. So if you know anyone in a family that would benefit or enjoy being part of our church family, please welcome them. It's a fun Christian growth and worship experience. Blood donations. Okay, I'm going by my slides. Okay, blood is urgently needed. I know we had a blood drive just this last Wednesday at Crafton. So if you get in touch with Lifestream in San Bernardino, you can find out where those are located each week. Your giving statements are now available in the back in the narthex. So please remember to pick those up. I'm sure they'd like to have them all distributed for tax purposes sooner rather than later. The Good Samaritan Fund, you can give money or script, purchase Stater script today and leave those cards so that we will have that. The February newsletter is available in the narthex. It's also available online, but you can pick that up. If you feel you need to have it mailed to you, please make sure that the church office knows that. Our next movie is A Ticket to Paradise, starring Julia Roberts and George Clooney. And I can tell you, I've seen it, and it's a lot of fun. So if you want to have a good chuckle and enjoy the banter between the two of them, it's a great movie to see. The other thing I want to ask you to do is, at the end of each of your pews is our pew pad. If you would please sign in so we know who is with us today in the sanctuary. So if you would please do that, I would appreciate it. Pastor, any other further announcements? Oh, yes, please join us across in the fellowship for coffee and refreshments after service. Okay. All right. Please stand as you are able. And join me in the call to worship. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prosper. And if you would remain standing, and our first hymn will be, I Will Sing of My Redeemer, number 254, verses 1 through 3.
Sing of my
To all of those. Hello to those of you online as well. Okay, and you can be seated. And now is the time for the sharing of our joys and concerns. Deb will come forward with the microphone, but I happen to have this one in front of me. There were a few of us that are in the sanctuary this morning that were at the service for Galen Schatz. Galen and Susan were longtime members here, and it was a beautiful, beautiful ceremony, quite a tribute to him. For me, I had their daughters that are in their late 30s here on the church campus in my second and third grade Sunday school classroom when we met downstairs. And so they've grown into beautiful, beautiful young women. So if you'll keep Susan and the family in your prayers, I'd appreciate it.
I also like to recognize those who have come to join us via Zoom and extend our welcome to them. Bill and Mary, George, Gina is back. I hope that she's feeling better now. We have one on phone line and then one on iPad. And Linda, yes, Linda, good to see ya. And of course, Bruce should be next to her. And June and Joyce, welcome all.
I have a really close friend that works with my daughter that her mom had a stroke earlier this week. And her name is Alva, and her mom's name is Alva, and she was traveling to Mexico and was hoping she'd make the time to see her mom.
Yeah, I have a friend whose granddaughter was born premature at 6 weeks early, and the mother had preeclampsia, and they barely survived, but they did, and they went home. And now this little baby, her name is Romy, and I don't know if she's a month and a half or two, but she's kind of quit eating because she has so much pain when she eats. So pray for Romy to be able to thrive.
Our friend Aurora has a brother named Nick who is struggling with cancer. So just ask for prayers for Nick and Aurora and their family. Nick is in, I think, Wichita, Kansas, I believe is where he's at. So prayers for Nick and his family. Thank you.
My name is April, and I know most of you, and for the last 2 weeks, we've been watching church from Hawaii, and while Hawaii is supposed to be wonderful and beautiful and paradise, it's like any other place, it wasn't this time for us, because my husband chose to have two incidents. It was just like when he had his stroke. So the first one was mild, but the second one, the last night before we flew home, we had to take him by ambulance, and I got to be with him. And he was in the emergency ward. They don't know what's causing it. He's had 9 incidents since he had his stroke. And so they're going to fit him with a monitor to see if perhaps he has AFib. So there's not much else they can do. So thank you for your prayers.
Hi, my name's Pat Shores, and on the bulletin, on our bulletin this morning on the back page, my sister is listed. Her daughter Emily is the one that just recently had preemie twins. The babies were supposed to be coming home, and now they're both back in the hospital. I've been told they don't have COVID, but they've got something, and anyway, this past week they were both supposed to be home at Emily's house, and instead they're zipped them back to the hospital because they're not eating well and they're not breathing well. So just continuing prayers for those little babies. Thank you.
Thanks, Pat. I'd like to ask for continued prayer for Rachel, and I have joys. First of all, I got to see my grandchildren and my son last night, and they came over for dinner and played, and we had a lot of fun. And the second of all, my wonderful sister Sherry is here. Stand up, Sherry. I know you've all been hearing about her, but she's here, and we've had such a wonderful time, and we got a couple more days of wonderful time to go. So I'm glad you're here. She is from Arcade, New York, which is outside of Buffalo in the frozen zone right now. Anyone on Zoom, please raise your hand. Okay, June, unmute and go for it. Joyce, unmute.
Okay, go ahead. Yes. Last week I had a concern about my daughter-in-law, Natalie. She was in the hospital with a racing heart. The doctors were able to take care of it and give her the right medication. She's now home and doing pretty well. I want to thank everyone for their prayers.
And
of course, thank God for taking care of it.
Great. Thanks for sharing, Joyce. Deb, if you would repeat that request, if you heard.
Her daughter, Natalie, was in the
heart. Natalie is Lloyd's wife. And he talked to Lloyd when we come.
Lloyd's wife, Natalie, was in the hospital with a racing heart, and she the doctors gave her medication that's helped it, and so she's doing well now.
Right.
Very nice.
Linda, do you have an update for us?
Thank you very much.
Unmute the microphone, Linda.
Well, I'm getting there. I have to get a heart monitor on Tuesday, and then I see my regular doctor on Wednesday, and then I have to go, what was it?
She gets to see a
neurologist
next week.
On the 12th, I think it is.
14th.
What?
14th.
So we'll see how, they still haven't given me a diagnosis, so they're not real sure.
But they don't want her to drive.
They want me to drive in case I have another episode of passing out. So far, so good. Haven't had one. So that's a plus. But other than that, I'm still hanging in there.
Very good.
That's good. We'll keep praying for you and Bruce. Yes. Anyone else on Zoom?
You know, Colin, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like us to sing He is So Good, God is So Good. Yes. Before we go into the time of prayer. Let's sing together. God is so good.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
He answers prayer.
He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me.
let's continue our prayers in silence, remembering all those names that's been just lifted up and their need, and ask God for healing upon them, that they may experience God's power in their lives, wherever they are, whatever they are dealing with, so that they may be assured of God's presence and God's love. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, over the years we have learned that the storms of life never ceases. They come expectedly and unexpectedly. And through all those storms, O Lord, we have learned to trust in you, learn to hold on to you, learn to hang in there with the strength that we can draw from you and from your Holy Spirit. This is a time of our prayer, time of our need. We come together acknowledging our weakness, our need, our trials, our pain and sufferings. We come to you, O Lord, with the full assurance that you know exactly what we are dealing with, where we are in life, and where we are headed. You own, O Lord, know exactly our life circumstances and what we need. So to you, O Lord, we lift up our hands in prayer and ask you, O Lord, to hold our hand. Let us know that you are near. Let us know that we are connected to you as your precious children. We may have discouragement, we may have doubt, and we may not be motivated to come and ask your help, but Lord, you always reach out unto us with the things we need and give us what we need. So we come and we open our hearts, our lives, and give them to you, O Lord. We lift up the burdens that we see upon our shoulders, upon our heart, and we want to give them to you as well. This is our action of faith, action of trust in your never-failing love. So, Lord, here we are, presenting ourselves as we are, lifting up our voices, our prayers for us and for our loved one. So, Lord, hear our prayers and surround us with the power of your love, with the power of your Holy Spirit, and may we feel once more your presence with us, right here, right now. So thank you, Lord, for your living presence in our lives. Thank you for manifesting your power in the time of our need. May we receive this assurance that when we pray, our prayers are taken to you, to your heart, and we will experience your working hand in our day-to-day living. And with you and with your power, we can overcome all the difficulties and continue on. So, Lord, empower us once more. Give us the assurance of your presence once more. Give us the faith that you are the one who can heal. Heal our brokenness. Heal all our disease. So, Lord, unto you we lift up our prayers. And into your hand we commit ourselves and commit our loved ones. Trusting that you are our sovereign God, you have the full control over our lives, even when we question about that. So as you taught us to pray, we now pray together, committing ourselves into your care and into your will. So we now pray together, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn is In the Garden, number 314, verses 1 through 3. The scripture reading this morning is from Matthew 7, verses 24 through 29. It's titled, The Hearers and Doers. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Now when Jesus had finished saying these words, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. You know, on Christmas Eve, Lois Crosby came to the worship with her friend, and she said something that really, really warmed my heart. And I've never met her before, but she was walking into the sanctuary from Narthex and said, you know, this is very weird, but I feel the very warm glow in the sanctuary. And she said, this is very rare, but I feel that. And, you know, that was apparently the sign of God's presence here in this church and in this beautiful sanctuary. And I was very, very happy to hear that. Amen. I know. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, I hope you do the same, a lot of times I feel the power of the Holy Spirit, and often makes me very emotional. And, you know, as you have noticed, I'm getting old, and sometimes I cannot control my emotion that well. And I have a hard time controlling it. But I'd like to tell you, wherever you are, and I have heard a lot of prayer requests this morning, which is, you know, some of them are very, very heavy. Whatever the situation that you are dealing with, I'd like you to know that God is with you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I'd like to assure you, to all those who have come to worship with us this morning via Zoom, God is with you, with each and every one of you. A certain man was troubled with dizzy spells. He went from one doctor to another, and none could tell him what the problem was. He tried everything, it seemed. Finally, it was bothering him so much that he started to lose weight, and he couldn't sleep at night. He became a nervous wreck, and his health began to deteriorate. He had lost hope that he wouldn't ever recover. So he decided to, prepare for the worst. He made out his will, bought a cemetery plot, and even made arrangements with a local undertaker for what he was conceived was his soon demise. He even decided to buy a new suit of clothes to be buried in. When he went into the clothier, he measured for everything, picked out shoes, socks, coats, pants, and even underwear. The only thing left was his shirt, and the clothier was about to get the measurement for it. He said, oh, you don't need to. My size is 15. The skilled clerk guessed his size by simply looking at him and said, but sir, you need a size 16 and a half shirt, not 15. The man insisted he wore a size 15. Finally, in exasperation, the clerk said, "But if you wear a size 15, you'll get dizzy spells." There he found the answer. If he continually wore the tight shirt, he would have been dead and did not have a dizzy spell, of course. But thanks to the clothier, he learned that what caused the deterioration of his health and could stop the chain reaction and had a chance to live. Sometimes we are so accustomed to doing things repeatedly out of ignorance or habit or many other reasons. We do not want to change it and develop a bad cycle and end up suffering from the same consequences. Once we get into a cycle, it's hard to break away from it. Jesus' teaching this morning shed light on a cycle that people of God went around for thousands of years by not following God's word. The history of Israel was run by a repetition of disobeying God's word, punishment, and repentance and restoration. We will reflect on this cycle and a remedy to avoid it. Let me read to you Jesus' teaching on a translation called The Message, which may help with what I want to share with you this morning. Jesus said, "These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life. Homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you use my word in Bible studies and don't work them into your life," how funny he phrased that, "you are like a stupid carpenter who built his house on a sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards." Jesus' teaching on how to build life is so easy, even children to understand. "The Wise and Foolish Man" is a song composed with this teaching for Sunday school children, which lyric goes like the following. "The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rain came tumbling down. The rain came down, and the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the rain came tumbling down. The rain came down, and the floods came up, and the house on sand went splat." So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessing will come down. The blessings will come down as the prayers go up. So build your life on the rock. Building any kind of structure on a firm foundation is common sense, but not everyone practices it. Many build their houses on sand, even though a disastrous outcome is expected. Jesus used this to illustrate life-building skills. The wise one builds life by practicing God's word, which works like a rock in the time of trial. But the foolish one is easily swayed by troubles, for they do not have confidence in the word of God. Something to note here is that both the wise and foolish ones hear and know God's word, but practicing what God says makes all the difference. How to build life was a conclusion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which included about 20 different teachings. Right after his series of teaching, the Gospel of Matthew added people's reaction and said, his teaching amazed them. Every teaching of Jesus is amazing. But I wonder how this particular teaching was amazing to the audience. To me, it was because Jesus revealed to them very plainly a bad cycle of Israel's failure to build their lives correctly for thousands of years. Take an example from the period of Judges. It is a very helpful part of Israel's history in understanding a bad cycle. 12 judges governed Israel, or 13 of them, if you include Samuel as the last judge, for about 400 years until it became a nation under a king. God raised judges to save Israel from oppression by surrounding nations. Why didn't neighboring nations oppress Israel? Because the people forsook their Lord. As the people suffered from their oppressors, they returned to God and cried out to him. The Lord listened to their cry and sent judges to liberate them. The people worshiped God and enjoyed a season of peace for a while. And then again, as expected, they abandoned their God and began worshiping immoral idols of the surrounding nations and fell into their hand. This cycle of fall, punishment, and redemption was repeated all through the period of Judges and beyond. After the period governed by judges, Israel had a king. There were three kings before Israel was split. Israel became a great nation under King David, who was a man after God's own heart. Solomon, David's son, did evil in his old age, and consequently, the nation was split into two. There were 19 kings in northern Israel. All of them did evil in God's eyes, and the nation was collapsed first by Assyrians in 721, and the northern kingdom had 10 tribes, and then when they were taken to Assyria, they never returned to Israel. So the 10 tribes were lost. That's where those 10 tribes came from. Out of 20 kings in Judah, the southern kingdom, only 6 of them were good. During the reign of those good ones, the kingdom enjoyed prosperity and peace, but eventually it was destroyed by Babylonians for the same reason of disobedient and idol worship. You see that pattern going over around and around and around? The cycle of fall and redemption is applicable to the entire human history as well. God created the universe and did everything in it so perfectly. His creation fell from glory by disobeying his command. Then God sent the Savior to save his creation. Those who believe in the Savior by repentance are reconciled back to the Creator. I once shared my perspective to see the whole history of humankind. And this cycle of rise and fall, in other words, cause and effect, if it's repeated over and over, it becomes a cycle, cause and effect cycle. this cycle has the grip of everyone and every nation. The audience of the Sermon on the Mount would have known the relapse of the disobedience of their ancestors and what followed their corruption. The people were chosen by God. They were given God's word and commandment. But they failed to practice God's word. As a result, they lost their nation at the hands of foreign governments. They built their nation upon the sand and needed a firm and immovable foundation by returning to God's word. Israel's history itself proves that what Jesus taught was true, and the audience could not help but agree with Jesus' teaching. So, I mean, to me, that's interesting. Right after this short teachings of Jesus, Matthew records the audience response, and they said they were all amazed to his teaching because they agreed to what Jesus had to say. Jesus' teaching contains two essential life-building skills. The first one, the kind of foundation, the rock as the foundation of life. And the second, how to build, is to build life upon the rock. Apparently, the rock is our faith in Jesus. When Peter confessed Jesus as the Messiah and the Son of the living God, Jesus said to Peter that upon the rock, Peter's confession, Jesus will build his church. We individually are small churches of Christ, and the foundation of our life is the rock, our faith in Jesus and his teaching. Upon this foundation of the rock, we need to build life up by practicing what God says. Knowing and practicing are two different things. The Word of God lists building cores in detail. The Scripture has a lot of building cores, life building cores. And people know them, know what those building cores are. But disappointingly, not everyone builds his life to meet the requirement. A TV news camera crew was on assignment in southern Florida filming the widespread destruction of Hurricane Andrew in 1992. In one scene, amid the devastation and debris, stood one house on its foundation. The owner was cleaning up the yard when a reporter approached him. "Sir, why is your house the only one still standing?" asked the reporter. "How did you manage to escape the severe damage of the hurricane?" "I built this house myself," the man replied. "I also built it according to the Florida State Building Code. When the code called for 2x6 roof trusses, I used 2x6 roof trusses. I was told that a house built according to code would withstand a hurricane. I did, and it did. I suppose no one else around here followed the code." Among many life building skills, these two skills that Jesus taught have been tried and true for thousands of years and can withstand any storm of life. May we continue to build our life securely upon the faith in Jesus, who is our rock of salvation, and put into practice what we believe. Amen. Now let us prepare our hearts to come to the table of God's mercy at this time. And all those of you who are worshiping with us via Zoom, may, if you like, grab a piece of bread and the kind of drink that you choose at home. It could be a wine if you like, or it could be a grape juice, or just a plain water. Okay? I'm going to start from page 13 of the hymnal. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. As we participate in this table that Jesus himself prepared for our salvation with his own body and the blood, and eat the piece of bread, let's remember the body of Christ broken for our salvation. We drink from the cup. It's the one cup that Jesus has prepared with his own blood. That's the cup that we are drinking, the wine, the blood of Christ, drink. We drink. As we drink this from this cup, let us remember the blood of Christ Jesus shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. So now with the gratitude and thanksgiving, let us take the body of Christ and drink his blood. Thank you. are so grateful, dear Lord Jesus Christ, for this wonderful reminder of your love and of your cross. We are forever indebted to you for what you did in Calvary. And may we live our life worthy of your sacrifice for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now is the time for the presentation of our tithes and offerings. Our church does appreciate all that you do to continue to support us. There's an offering plate in the back where you can leave your envelopes, or you're welcome to bring those to the church office. Thank you.
Christ, as we remember the sacrificial love that you poured out unto all those who believe, we give you this thanksgiving as a token of our relationship with you and our thankfulness from our hearts and from our lives. We ask you to receive it, bless it, that it may be used to extend your kingdom through the mission and ministries of this house of faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
And if you will remain standing for our communion hymn, My Hope Is Built, number 368, verses 1 through 3.
All other ground is sinking sand.
Again, acknowledge that you are the only solid foundation upon which we can build life. All other ground is sinking sand. So, Lord, encourage us, empower us, and strengthen us that we may continue to build our life upon this solid foundation, to bring you glory, that people may see how this life on earth should be built. So send us forth with the blessing and your peace, that we may go and shine the light, that people may see you through what we do, that we may continue to be wise builders of life. In Jesus' name, amen.